Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Turn to Genesis chapter 22. I'm going Old Testament on you today. Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to read later in verses 5 through 8, because we are jumping back into our series, Expressions of Worship. Have you enjoyed this series? It's been powerful. It's been powerful. We've had a two-week break where we had Pastor Joe Phillips came in a couple of weeks ago and spoke to us about a better ministry, and he sowed seed into us. And I'm telling you, I started his book yesterday, and I got through 10 chapters in about an hour. Okay, that tells you how easy of a read it is. And I'm doing the study guide as I go along with it, and it is wonderful. I'm telling you, it is a blessing. And Brother Joe blessed our congregation. Amen. He did a wonderful job, and I looked forward to having him back. How many of y'all would like to see him come back one day? I'd love to see him come back. And then we had Pastor Trevor last week share with us what is going on in Children's Church. And wasn't it great to see all those kids up here? Can I let you in on a little secret? We're growing. And I know we were looking at it, and y'all saw that splat of that pie and go all over here. You know, sometimes ministry is messy. But kids are worth a mess. A soul is worth a mess. A soul is worth a stain or two here and there, because you know what? Later on, I when those kids are older, if we hadn't changed this carpet by then, number one, y'all need to shoot me. But number two, if we hadn't changed the carpet by then, when Sophia or when Bentley or some of those other kids get a little older, they can come up here with their friends and they say, you see that little spot right there? That's the one I did. And there's heritage in that. They can start telling them, well, why'd you do that? Well, we gave a whole bunch of money to missions. Well, what's missions all about? Next thing you know, they get into a conversation about God. I'm telling you, ministry may be messy, but ministry is awesome. It's worth every stain. If you understand me, say I do. But we're jumping back into our series today, and I'm jumping straight back in because the purpose of this series is to take five well-known stories of different ways to express our worship to God. Worship is one of my favorite times. Y'all can tell I love to sing. I don't hit the right notes all the time. I definitely don't say the right words all the time. And Brother Brad's back there going, oh my gosh, he's not on the right verse. And I'm like, sorry, brother. But the thing is, it's nothing to do with him. It's all to do with me. But I love worship. There's more to worship than singing a song. There's more to worship than just one way to worship. The word worship automatically calls our mind to images and feelings and thoughts that we believe worship is. Raised hands, someone playing a piano, maybe sister, as my old pastor used to say, because he knew nobody had this last name, Sister Papufnik, over on the church organ or the church piano playing "I'll Fly Away" or one of the old hymns from the Redback. And maybe you envision like I do when I was growing up, the fog machines and the lights and all that kind of stuff that the youth enjoy nowadays, and they really enjoy that. You may envision that, but it's not just about that. Worship is greater, deeper, and more important than a specific time during a service on a Sunday morning. Worship is not just the 20 to 25 minutes to start the service. Worship goes beyond that. Somebody say beyond. Worship goes beyond that. See, in week one, God has challenged us in the last 3 weeks of our series with looking at worship from different perspectives. In week one, we had Paul and Silas. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. Because Paul and Silas, it didn't matter what they were going through. It didn't matter how dark it was inside that inner cell. They still sang their hymns to God. They worshiped God in the midst of their circumstances. See, in week one, Paul and Silas showed us that the most common expression of worship that there is, singing out to him. But how they showed us how worship was an exercise of faith. Any of y'all ever feel like not worshiping? Any of y'all ever feel like just laying down and saying, no, I'm not going today. I'm not singing today. I'm not worshiping today. I'm not raising my hand. I don't care how many times Pastor Aaron says, raise your hands and give him praise. I ain't worshiping today because I got a headache. Things in the world have gone wonky, and things are going crazy in my house. Things are going crazy in my family, and things are going wrong in my family. Why should I worship God when everything seems to be falling apart? But worship is not about lifting him up when he's worthy, when we think he's worthy. Worship is about lifting him up when we think he's abandoned us, even in the dark ages, in the dark times, in the inner cell. Worship is more than that. Worship, how worship is an exercise of faith is what they taught us. Even in the darkest times of our lives, God is still worthy of our praise. If he didn't do one more thing, if I lost my family, if I lost my money, if I lost my house, if I lost my dogs, if I lost my friends, if I lost everything, I still would owe him worship. Because I didn't lose him. And I can never lose him. Because he's always chasing after me. He always wants to be caught. He's like the dad playing hide and seek with the kids. Y'all ever do that with your kids when they were little? You play hide and seek with them and you hide someplace that's just obvious. Like you're standing behind a lamppost that's about 3 inches wide and look at me. That's not going to hide much. And you sit there and go, hee. And the kids, found you. That's the way God is. We think God is intentionally trying to hide from us so that we search and we search and we search and we get frustrated. We frustrated and we get frustrated. God's not doing it. God is right there waiting to be found. And sometimes, even in the dark, we can find him in our worship. If you're with me, say, I am. In week two was an interesting week, if I remember right. Week two, a young woman named Mary expressed her worship through a bottle of expensive perfume. She showed us how true worshipers give God their very best, how worshipers are found at the feet of the Master, humble, broken, and how they empty themselves before God. She never sang a song, never played a note, but her worship was louder than any clanging of a cymbal, any playing of an instrument in that room, because she gave her very best. In week three, an old widow showed us that the sound of two copper coins was music to the ears of our Savior. In this historical count at the temple, and I say historical because me and a pastor friend of mine, we were talking about this this week. Many teenagers and many kids today, they hear us say this story, and automatically they go to a story like a movie or a fiction book. But these are historical accounts of things that actually happened. In this historical account of this lady at the temple, Jesus positioned himself to see what was given. God pays attention to how we give to him. I mentioned it a few minutes ago about how we are willing to give. And she showed us, we heard through this widow's coins, we heard how he heard the cost of her worship, how she gave everything that she had, the faith of her worship, that even though it was all that she had, she trusted and did not complain when she gave it. She walked away knowing that God would provide her needs. And then we heard the heart of her worship, that even if he didn't return it back to her, she didn't care if one person noticed what she gave. When she gave to God, she gave to no one else but God. She didn't give to the temple, she gave to him. That's the mindset we need to have when we give to God. In our tithe, in our offering, in our worship, in our time. Well, the pastor asked me to do it, so I guess I might as well go on up there. I'll do it for him. He better know how much I love his little tail. I understand. I understand you love me, but you know what? I want you to love him more. Because you don't do it to me. The Bible says everything you do, do it as you do it unto the Lord. Not unto the Pastor Aaron. not unto your Sunday school teacher, not unto your friends, not unto your son or your daughter or your wife or your husband. He said, do it as you do it unto the Lord. And today is all about the sacrifice of worship. I'm with y'all. The sacrifice of worship, because sometimes it's hard to give what God wants. It's hard to give him what he wants. Amen. It's hard to give him what he deserves. The word sacrifice has a powerful meaning to us. We hear it all the time in the Christian world. We hear about the sacrifice of praise. Y'all remember that old, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I used to love that song. I'd sit on that front pew. I'd be about 6 years old, and I would bounce, we bring a sacrifice of praise. And I'd have a blast singing that song. But I never really grasped what it was, because I didn't know what sacrifice was. We say that word sacrifice. Well, I'm sacrificing for Jesus because I walked into church this morning. No, that's not a sacrifice. That's your duty. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody just got their toes stomped on for a minute. Just hang on. We're going to get to some fun stuff here in a minute, but I want you to pay attention to me today. Listen, we are called to sacrifice in worship. We hear it all the time. And the offering, the definition of sacrifice is the offering of something in propitiation or homage of. To honor with. The offering of something. Let me put it in PA versions. Pastor Aaron version, okay? It is this. This is what sacrifice is. To give up something important to me or costly to me for someone else. That's what it means. See, we toss that word sacrifice around so much, but we need to take a look at what it really means. See, I can look at Amy. If Amy and I love to eat, as you can tell, okay? But when we go out to eat, if a salad comes with my meal, most of the time, I give it to Amy. I could look at Amy and say, you know what? I sacrifice my salad so that you can eat today. You know what? That ain't no sacrifice. You know why? Because if that salad didn't go to her, it'd sit right there and not be getting eaten most of the time. Because you know what I like? Meat and taters. That's what I'm going to eat. Now, I might nibble a little. I'm not a rabbit. I don't eat a lot of green stuff. But I need to, but I don't. But that's not a sacrifice to me. That's why I'm saying, well, I'm sacrificing and going to church today. No, God said keep the Sabbath and make it holy. He also said come and let us not forsake the gathering together into the saints, as some are in the habit of doing. He said gather together with one another, encourage one another, even as the day approaches. He encourages all of that. That's a command from God. That's not a sacrifice. Well, that preacher better know I'm sacrificing by giving this $5 to the guest speaker that's coming up here. No, you're not. What you're doing is you are sowing seed into ministry. And you're doing what God has asked you to do, because he said to bless those that give to you, that teach you. We're supposed to do that. And he also encourages you to give on a regular basis in your tithe. He gives you an opportunity for those things. All of those things are not sacrifices. In Genesis 22, we see where God asks Abraham to do something that seems a little bit out of ordinary, and a little bit out of the ordinary, and so out of character for God. And what he asked of Abraham was a sacrifice. Something dear to him. Something he loved, he said, give it to me. Put it in my hands and give it to me today. Give it to me now. This is what he told him. Let me tell you the background of it. What it is that God showed up with Abraham. And he said, listen, I want you to take your son, your one and only son, the son that you love. Yes, the one named Isaac. And I want you to take him, and I want you to travel to Mount Moriah, and I want you to take him over there. And when you get there, I want you to take him, lay him on an altar, and offer him to me as a burnt offering. That was normal in the pagan religions around him, but this was not God the way that Abraham knew him. God was supposed to be different. But he looked at Abraham and said, give me your most precious possession and offer it as a burnt offering. I don't know about y'all, but I probably would have looked at God and said, listen, I must be hearing something wrong. We're not on the right frequency. We're not hearing the right thing. Can you repeat that a little bit louder for me? And even if he repeated it, Lord, there must be something lost in translation. Can you tell me that in Spanish? Give me some French. Give me some hieroglyphs. Let them just show up out in the sky. Do something that makes sure that I know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. If I had heard those words, it would not have registered with me. Matter of fact, I'm going to read you the scriptures from verses 5 through 8. If you're there, say, I am. It says, stay here with the donkey. Talking to his two servants that traveled with him. Stay here with the donkey. Abraham told the servants, the boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there. This boy that he was taking, which, by the way, probably was not a boy. The scholars say that he was probably anywhere between 30 to 33 years old. The boy and I will worship there. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. Verse 6, so Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders. That tells you that he was a little older, because a young boy that was probably 6-5 years old is not going to be able to carry all the wood for the sacrifice. But he placed the wood on his shoulders, on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, we have the fire and the wood. The boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Isaac's thinking, something's up. I got to figure this thing out. And he asked him, where's the sheep at, Dad? And I love verse 8. It says, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on together. Let's pray. Father God, let my words be few, your words be powerful, and let us learn, Lord, that worship is a sacrifice of worship. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I love about this passage is that you saw the word worship. We will worship there. You realize this is the very first time in the scripture that the word worship was ever used. It wasn't used in talking about instruments. It wasn't used in talking about music. It wasn't used in talking about songs. If I remember right, the original word is shechem, to bow down. The original word was shechem, to bow down and prostrate oneself in honor of. The word worship was used for the very first time, not with music, not with song, not with giving, not with anything else. But what it was used for was with sacrifice. Let me tell you something. Worship begins with sacrifice. Are you with me? Is this making sense so far? We've gotten so confused over time at what begins our worship with God and our worship of God. Is it when we do something great for God? Is it when we teach? Is it when we listen to a good message? Is it when we say praise God? Is it when the countdown gets to zero and the music starts and somebody stands up and prays? Is it any of those things? Is it when Pastor Aaron finally gets things together and he actually plays the right chords for a change and sings the right words all at one time? Praise God. I hope that happens one day. But is it when all that happens? Is it when we tell people about Jesus? Is that when our worship starts? Is it when the band plays that song that is just right and gets those Holy Ghost goosebumps? Y'all know what I'm talking about? You got those certain songs that start making your skin just, you get those goosebumps going. I had somebody that one time, they called them the God bumps. Woo, that got my God bumps going. And that's awesome. Is it when those things happen? Abraham's worship began with his willingness to sacrifice what was most dear to him. God was asking a lot of Abraham, wasn't he? He was asking for more than just his son. And that's what I want you to understand today. Remember, our worship begins with sacrifice. When God asked for Isaac, he wasn't just asking for a boy. He wasn't just asking for a young man. He was asking for the promise that he gave him just a few chapters earlier. Because God had already promised Abraham, listen, it is through Isaac, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but it is through Isaac that your lineage will come. It is through his blood that everything will happen. Even though, listen, way back in chapter 18, in Genesis 18, about a year prior to this occasion, to what was going on. Even though he and Sarah were old, God was true to his word. In Genesis 21:5, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. More than that, God promised Abraham's descendants over in chapter 21 that his descendants would come from Isaac. In verse 12, it says, but God told Abraham, don't be upset over the boy or your servant. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. God was asking him to give him his promise back. Now that sounds a little bit out of the ordinary for God, because God doesn't do that. But how many times have we asked God, God, why did you take this from me? Why are you asking me to give this up? Because if I give you this, then the promise that you gave me a long time ago is not going to happen. Abraham had every right to start arguing with God. Whoa, wait a minute, God. You told me that through him, everything was going to come. Through him, my descendants would be numerous. Through him, blessing would come. And through him, blessing would come over the entire earth. You told me all this. Why are you asking for him back? It's because he was asking him to be willing to sacrifice. Sometimes it's our willingness that gets in our way. It's our willingness to go beyond what we think is possible. God was asking him to give up everything, his future and the future of his house. Genesis 22:2, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. God left no doubt about his intentions. And you've got to think, with every phrase that God uttered, with every phrase that God spoke, it was like another knife that cut his heart. It was like another knife that cut Abraham's heart. He said, take your son. There's a cut right there. Wait a minute, my son? My promise? Your only son. Now, wait a minute, God. I've just sent away the one that you said was not the promised one. And now I've got this one, and you're wanting to take my only son that I've got left with you? You're wanting to take him whom you love. God, you know I love him, and you still ask for him? Another cut. And offer him, wait a minute, God. Wait a minute. Offer him how? And tears start flowing down Abraham's. I can just see it. I'm a visual person. And I'm a little bit dramatic, can you tell? Tears start streaming down his face as he starts. He knows what's coming, because he's heard this so many times before when he's given sacrifices to God. But he said, offer him as a burnt offering. And I want you to understand what that means. Burnt offering means that not only does he just take him and lay him on an altar and light it on fire, but it meant that Abraham had to physically take a knife himself and stab his own son and kill his own son, because a burnt offering had to die before the flames ever touched it. So God was not only asking him to give him his son, he was asking him to kill his son. See, we don't think about that. The breath had to be out of the sacrifice before it was ever burned. And see, and I'm sure in some people's minds, well, God, Abraham knew that God could raise him from the dead and all of that. But if you burn an offering, what's left to raise? In the human mind, I'm sure Abraham was wrestling with this the entire time he's walking. And when his son looks over and says, "Dad, where's the sheep?" I'm sure Abraham is dying on the inside, ready to scream and ready to cry tears. And he says, "God will provide, son. Just trust me. God will provide." Many of us as Christians are willing to do a lot for God. We're willing to do so much for God. But our worship is not measured by how much we do, but it's measured by the willingness to sacrifice and to put in the Master's hands whatever He asked for. I can stand up here and preach message after message after message after message after message. I could show up. We could show up and we could minister to people out in the at Oxford Fest every single weekend. We could minister to people on a regular basis, give away to the homeless. We could give away Christmas baskets. We could give away Thanksgiving baskets. We can cook meal after meal after meal after meal. And all we do does not equal worship sometimes, because sometimes we don't do it for God. We do it because we're just doing it. We show up at church and we say, "This is my worship to God." And we show up at church and we sit down in the pew and we don't ever raise our hands. We don't ever even sing a song. We don't ever have the heart of worship that is willing to stand up and give Him the praise that's due to Him. Our willingness is what He looks for, not what we do. Abraham was not considered righteous for the act of sacrificing his son, but his willingness to put the promise back in the hands of the promiser. Hebrews 11, 17 and 19 through 19 says, "It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac." He was willing. Can I ask you something today? What has God asked you to sacrifice in your own life that you have been unwilling to let go of yet? Because right now you're holding worship away from God because of your unwillingness. I don't know what that might be, and we're going to get into that here in just a moment, but and everybody's like, "Man, this is a heavy message." Believe me, I wanted more jokes and I wanted more fun in this too. But sometimes God wants to step on our toes a little bit. Sometimes God's got to shake us up a little bit. What is God asking you to put back in His hands? Our worship begins with being willing to sacrifice our will for His, our desires for His, and our plans for His. Our worship begins with putting our promises back in His hands. "God, you promised me that I was not going to be alone. God, you promised me that you were going to send someone my way." But God is saying, "Listen, if you'll give that to me in worship of me, I'll make it come to pass, but in my time. God, you told me that I would never be a beggar for bread. I would always have what I needed. I would always you told me that my kids were going to serve you. Put it in God's hands. Stop trying to make it happen on your own." That was Abraham's first problem, is he tried to make it happen on his own with Hagar. Sarah said, "Here, take my servant Hagar. Be with her. Have a child with her, and maybe that will be the promise that God." They tried to make it happen. But when you put the promise back in God's hands, He will make sure that the promise comes true. Are you with me? If we trust the promiser of the promise, then the promise will be taken care of. See, our worship begins with sacrifice, but our worship ends in provision. Our worship begins with our sacrifice, but our worship always ends with God's provision for our situation. See, somebody needs to hear that today. Abraham was willing, and he obeyed. He went through all the motions. He got up early. The Bible says that he got up early. He saddled the donkey. He cut the wood. Listen, it didn't say that he had his servants do any of that. He did it himself. Why? Because he knew that it was his job to put it in God's hands, not theirs. Some of us are sitting around and letting the people around us worship God for us because we don't think that we can. He did it all. When they arrived on the mountain, it says that he laid the wood on Isaac's back and he carried it. But notice it said that Abraham carried the fire and the knife. Those were the holy elements of this whole thing. It was Abraham that carried those. You know why? Because it wasn't Isaac's job to carry the weight of his worship. And I can guarantee you that that knife and that fire weighed so much more heavy on Abraham than that wood ever could have. He had to carry the instruments of death, the instruments of his sacrifice of worship. Church, can I encourage you with something? Don't let someone else be responsible for your sacrifice, for your worship. I know the burden is heavy some days. I know it's hard some days. But when we carry the elements of worship with us, and we're willing to sacrifice, that worship begins with that sacrifice, then God's provision will always come in the end. Are you with me? Let me let you know what I'm talking about. Even when he was questioned by his own son, he didn't waver or falter or fail. His son looked at him in verses 7 and 8. Father, yes, my son, we have the fire and the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? And God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. He followed God's instructions to the letter, all the while repeating three words. God will provide. Every step up that mountain, as he and Isaac walked on by themselves, every step up that hill, God has got to provide. Every step got harder and harder, God will provide. Every step weighed a little bit heavier, God will provide. He's got to. He gave me the promise, but I'm willing to give it back. But that just means he's got something greater. So God will provide. The end of the story is very simple. When they arrived in verses 9 through 13, when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Think about that for a minute. Abraham is over 130 years old probably by this point, and he's trying to tie up a 33-year-old man or a 30-year-old man. Isaac had to realize this was an act of worship too. But he tied him up, and he laid him on the altar. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. And as he raised it, he was getting ready to plunge down that knife down into his son's chest, into Isaac's chest. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, don't you know that Abraham's heart all of a sudden leaped for joy because he knew there's the provision. Here's the provision he promised me. I knew he wouldn't fail me. I knew he wouldn't falter. I knew that he would come through. And Abraham said, yes, here I am. What's interesting about those three words, here I am, is because that is the answer of a servant to a master. The words that were used are the exact words that a servant would always answer their master with when their master called their name. He said, here I am. In other words, I'm here to do whatever you ask. Still with a knife poised above his son's chest. Still with the promise laying in front of him that is all but dead at this moment. But God looks at him. And to the end of the story goes like this. He says, don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not hurt him in any way. For I know that now that you truly fear God. You have not withheld your son. Your only son. In verse 13, he says, then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by his horns in a thicket. God will provide. God provided just the way Abraham believed he would. It was his willingness to give everything in worship that prompted God to provide another way. What if Abraham has said, you know what, I'm going to carry a sheep with me just in case? That would show he's not willing. It was his total abandonment of his own will that provided the sacrifice that was needed. What sacrifice of worship has God asked you for today? Big or small, it doesn't matter. What matters is your willingness to lay it on the altar today. What matters is that just like he did for Abraham, your willingness will always prompt God to provide for you. There is better provided on the other side of our sacrifice of worship. I'm going to read this verse one more time. Verse 14. Abraham named the place, or I'm going to read this one more verse. Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, or as we know it in the English language, Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Stand with me today.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.